Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, man. Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty wanna know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey, man.
Is it true you're a deadhead too?
Hey, man.
Kid Baseball wanna talk music with you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, man.
right. It's a Wednesday, 9 o'clock. We are now joined by Royals manager Matt Quatrero. Matt, how you doing on this Wednesday morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Good to see the captain get things going last night with two bombs, a double, some RBIs. That's got to get the team going in the right direction, my man.
That was nice. Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, especially in that first inning, you know, squared a few balls up, and then, you know, Vinny hit that ball right to the wall, and then two-run homer is a good momentum builder for us. And it was nice to get a few on the board early, and the pitching was great last night and able to expand the lead during the game. So really well-played game overall.
It's amazing how much easier a game is when Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny are producing, isn't it?
Well, you could put any three people in there. If we're getting production and getting that kind of RBIs, that's great from anybody. But when those guys do, I think, you know, everybody feels it. You know, those are the guys, those are the leaders.
Yeah, and they have to be. I mean, you're only as good as your stars are in any sport. And when your stars are producing, you're giving yourself an opportunity to win games. And last night, it's no coincidence. The two biggest bats are your two biggest stars.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you talk about Lugo, too. I mean, he had an outstanding game. So, you know, and he's now kind of back in the flow. You know, he didn't have a rehab assignment, and he went and, you know, built up gradually. So his last two have been really, really good. So that's very encouraging.
Talking with Royals manager Matt Quatrero here on Fesco and Dusty on 95 The Fan. There was a players-only meeting on Saturday night. How do you see those things going? I don't know if you've been a part of those before or seen those happen, but what do you take from those as a manager of the ball club?
I think it was great. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's only so much you can say to a team as a manager, as a coach, you know, and they need to – it's their team, right? I mean, we're there to provide guidance and support and whatever other things they need, but at the same time, they're the ones that are holding each other accountable. You hear that in every business, every walk of life. You know, there's accountability. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, things that players can say to each other that staff members can't and shouldn't, you know, and they hear from us plenty, trust me. And so I thought that was great. And Salvi, you know, calling it together. And, you know, the next day he said, we had a great meeting. And I said, perfect. You know, like that's, it's not for me to go in there and hear everything that's being said, but it's for them to grow into those roles and understand what it means to support each other, you know, criticize each other, hold each other accountable, whatever the right terminology is. But that'll ultimately bring them closer, not only for now, but for the future.
Did that meeting have to come from Salvi? Like that couldn't have been a meeting that, like, say, Mark Canha called or somebody else like that. That had to be a meeting called by the captain, right?
That's a good question.
I think,
you know, in smaller, you know, Canha certainly pulled guys aside, smaller groups, you know, maybe I think other guys could have, but I think it's most meaningful when Salvi does it.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's good to hear that he was the guy who's been through this. Like, this is, you know, part two of Salvi's career with the Royals, right? Like, he's seen all this before. He saw a team meeting in 14 turn that team around. So maybe it has that same kind of effect that the Ibanez meeting did, you know, for the guys back in 2014. Either way, it was great last night. And I don't want to just leave Lugo just kind of, and Lugo pitched good too. Watching him pitch, it's like watching a conductor with a symphony or an artist. Like, it's just something different watching that guy pitch, man. It's really, like, just intriguing to watch Seth Lugo go out there on the mound.
Yeah, you definitely appreciate it, right? Especially in a day and age of everybody's just trying to throw as hard as they possibly can, or most people are. He does. It's a craft to him, and it's an art. And different pitches that he makes up between starts, you know, that just react slightly differently based on how he's feeling or what he thought would work for him the last game and what he knows he'll need versus a certain lineup and different tempos. I mean, I'm not sure how much of it you watched last night, but even I think it was his last inning, the pitch clock got down to 2 seconds. He came set immediately. And
it was awesome.
You know, that strikeout was a huge strikeout. And, you know, just that ability, most guys probably step off there and reset, but I think he understood that timing was going to mess with the hitter. So all those little intricacies are very fun.
Yeah, describing Seth Lugo there, Q, I want to bring this up because it looks like obviously I know it's hard to hit a baseball in Major League, but Caglione maybe getting into that sort of wave of the growing pains of Major League Baseball. Like, what's the What's the process there? Do you give him some advice, or you just let the kid keep going up there and hacking, and he'll eventually come around and get used to it?
Yes and yes. I mean, you know, he's an aggressive hitter, right? So we know he's going to be swinging the bat. But, you know, he's not just wandering aimlessly. Like, the hitting guys are talking with him, and he's having great work sessions with them. And some of this is just a natural progression of understanding what big league pitching is and how you react to it. And I'm sure there are a million voices trying to help him from the outside, and, you know, all kind of, you know, all of that just goes along with it. You have to understand that at some point you're probably giving the other pitcher too much credit. You need to just, you know, fall into the flow of the game and understand that the ball still has to cross the plate just like it did in the minor leagues, and all those kinds of things. But that has to happen on a natural progression of time when he feels that way, right? So he's still going to get opportunities to play. He's going to be in big spots, and, you know, he'll come through. I mean, we are very confident in his abilities, and he is as well. So it's not happening on the time frame that I'm sure he would like, but that doesn't mean that we're turning our back on him by any means.
No doubt.
Q, when you have a situation like yesterday with that reporter with a fake report about ownership saying it's time to sell, and then, you know, JJ came on and you know, diffused that report real fast yesterday, do you as the manager have to do damage control then inside that locker room and let those players know, hey, guys, we all still support you in here. We're still all in this together. Like, how does that impact you guys and inside the locker room when stuff starts getting out there that, I mean, even Sam Mellinger, your VP for communications, is weighing in on this guy? So obviously it ticked the organization off. How does that impact, and how do you have to handle things inside the locker room with the players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it first starts with, I mean, that story was so false that it was not a tough one to to say something about. So just grab Salvi and let him know. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, and a couple of the veteran players, and let them know that this is not true, and, you know, we're squarely in this thing. We know we're going to play better baseball than we have. We're going to find, you know, you see how these races go down to the wire. And we certainly have an extremely supportive ownership group. Mr. Sherman's been awesome. He's extremely positive about the team. So that was an easy one for us.
Good. So you went to Salvi is what you said. And you told him, hey, this isn't the truth. Let the guys know. And that's how you kind of handle that stuff inside the locker room then.
Yeah. And a couple of the other veterans, but definitely start with Salvi. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. We'll go get the series tonight. Go get the sweep if you can. That'd make me really happy. But we appreciate the time, Matt, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Okay, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
That was a pretty informative interview. Salvador Perez, man. There you go.
That's why he's the captain. Yep. And that's what a captain is supposed to do. And that's why Salvador Perez is around this team. For all you haters out there and washters out there that are thinking, washters, haters, washters, I don't know. Yeah. It just worked.
Yeah. Well, I liked it. I just like, make sure I heard it right.
The hell, I don't know.
Washters.
All the washters and the haters with Salvi out there. Matt Quatrero just told you in like 2 minutes why Salvador Perez is vitally important to this team. He called the team meeting. He's the captain. Then the erroneous report by nitwit number one out in you know, New York, whoever that guy was, Mark C., whatever his name is, that guy, you know, puts out that report. And then you go to the captain and you got to tell Salvi this ain't the case at all. And then Salvi goes in there and talks to the players and calms everybody else down, because it's human nature. You wake up in the morning and you see that your boss or somebody's reporting that your boss wants to get rid of his company and fire everybody. That's going to have an impact. That's going to have an effect on the people inside your organization. I don't care what walk of life you're in. The players wake up, they're on X right away. These people are addicted to it, just like all of us, right? Everybody's addicted to the social media. They see those reports, 9 o'clock in the morning. Wait a second here. Royals ownership wants us all traded? What the hell? So now you've got to handle that damage control. And so can you imagine the feeling how people, and I'll guarantee you Lugo is one of the guys that he talked to as well, because that's a very valuable piece right now, you know, right? Like, exactly. Lugo was in the report. Yeah. It's a very valuable piece. So you've got to talk to your players and calm them down. That's what a captain does. You talk to your star guys, your captain, and he kind of gives the information to everybody else. But that's what a manager's about. He knows how to manage the club. He knows how to push the buttons. Bring the right guys in. Explain to them what's going on. Now go tell everybody else. Nobody has anything to worry about. We're not selling and breaking up this team. Because I would imagine for a little bit yesterday, a lot of these players are going, damn, they're giving up on us already? This sucks.
unequivocally false. That is as false as can be, and you know the accountability of that writer should be in question.
Thanks for the fire. Tonight, Chris Bubich versus Patrick Corbin, the Royals, -120 on the money line, +140, -1.5, and Vern's pregame show. Vern's On Deck show starts at 6 o'clock. Royals will go for game two tonight with Bubich on the mound, 5-4 with a 1.98 ERA. That's insane to me. And just, that's tough. Coming up on the other side, though, we will dive back more into Mahomes being number one, plus minicamp day one. What was there? What will be there on Thursday? Mac will report about it on Monday because somebody's going to be back at Arrowhead on Thursday. But we dive into what was yesterday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back into it on a Wednesday. We'll be back on Monday, off tomorrow and Friday, and then Monday we get going again. By then we'll have a NBA champion. Oh, that poor kid last night. Oh, that poor kid last night.
He's a dumbass. Sorry, he's not a poor kid. Well, he is poor, yeah. But he's a dumbass. He could have been rich. Yeah, I mean, that was a dumb move. You got, what was it, $123,000 was the offered buyout?
$127,000 was like 2 weeks ago.
So it was 2 weeks. It wasn't even a week ago that it was that high.
It was when they started the final. It was when Edmonton won game one. And OKC and the Pacers hadn't played
yet. So a
week
to 10 days, something like that. Yeah. So he could have cashed out. So this guy put a parlay in, and all he had to do was have, what, Oklahoma City and Edmonton win.
Win the title.
And he would have cashed it at, what, $250,000 or something?
$272,000. Okay. And he bet $13 on a five-leg champions parlay.
Right. And they offered him a payout of $127,000.
$127 at a dollar.
Yeah, right. I would have taken it to that. Yeah,
13 bucks.
I mean, you 10 times your money, right? You know?
Sell the cards.
But like in that situation, you're a dumbass. You really are. I mean, you have to think of it and go, look, man, it's $127,000. Yeah. I'm going to take my money now, and I'm going to enjoy that $13 investment. I was reading something in the New York Post on their X feed this morning that every day 1,000 people become millionaires or something in America. Wow. I'm like, how do I get on that train, right? How the hell do I get on that train? And the reason why we all don't do it is because we're stupid, I guess, because this guy, I mean, he's your dumbass of the year. I mean, he really is. $127,000 of free money just sitting there. And you decided to let it play out. And I'm not hindsight guy. I wouldn't have been calling him a dumbass if this whole thing hit and he missed out on an additional, you know, $140,000 or whatever it would have been if Edmonton and Oklahoma City were ended up as champions. You're still $127,000 on the plus side, and you could have done a lot with that money. So I just think that guy made a major mistake.
We got one response, and it says he cashed out. I have not seen any of that. Did he cash out?
I have not seen that. I have not seen that. That would have been all over the place, right?
Like, my buddy didn't know anything about the story because he's obviously not glued to his phone like we have to be sometimes. And he was like, really, this is true? He goes, I hope the Florida Panthers win tonight. He's also a huge Levitard fan, and Levitard's all about it today because obviously the Florida Panthers and everything like that, back-to-back champs. But the thing that's interesting is, like, last night even, before the Panthers and Edmonton Oilers even started, he could have cashed out for
$39,000.
That's my contract.
I mean, you got to take that money. Yeah, the U.S. added over 1,000 new millionaires a day last year, according to a bank report. Like that's, I mean, 1,000 millionaires a day. Wow. 365,000 new millionaires were added into the United States last year.
That's crazy.
How the hell we get on this train?
Please,
I want on this.
All I'm seeing on Bleacher Report betting is put $13 on a 2086 whatever parlay placed on June 19th last year. Liberty and Eagles win titles. Both NHL NBA teams made the finals. Will profit $75,000 plus on hedges. So he hedged a lot of his bets is what I think he won on. And then somebody tweeted, every person who's making fun of him for not cashing out would have cashed out the ticket once the payout was like $1,000 probably. And never would have even given themselves a chance to make big money. Well, he had a chance to make big money. So, I don't know.
Good on him for hedging, at least, if that's the truth. Yeah,
if that's the truth,
and he made over, you know, $50,000 or whatever people are saying.
Yeah,
I don't think I would have cashed out at 1,000 though.
No.
Yeah, so he hedged and got the 75K, which is what you should have done. Like, you, if you're not going to cash out, you should have 100% hedged.
Oh, he hedged?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for him,
yeah,
man.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah, smart.
I'll give him a little bit of that. You still won some money on the thing. Not as much as you would have liked, but 75 grand is still 75 grand.
And the other thing that a lot of people forget about is that he is going to 100% be on a podcast and get paid for it. He's going to get some sort of other interview that he'll get paid for, and he'll eventually make the 279K or whatever he would have made on the parlay. But man, 127, I guess I'm on both sides of the fence. If you're trying to hope that you get a legacy story, then you succeeded. But if you wanted to just get 127K and run away and never be seen again, I agree with that story as well. I'm with Gold. He saw the big number and was like, it can only go higher. Plus I have the odds. And then all of a sudden Edmonton, because Oklahoma City's going to win.
Yeah, they're going to win it.
Yeah, that thing's over.
So it is going to be a one-leg miss.
It's going to be one-leg miss.
Classic tale, dude.
Imagine if Oklahoma City had already won the championship, though, and Edmonton and Florida were still playing, what maybe that payout would have been.
Huge.
What would you have done in that situation if Oklahoma City had won first, and now you're 5-for-6 with one still to be determined?
It's really hard not to
see. Now a lot of people are saying he hedged and there's no proof that he hedged. I haven't seen that there was proof. I don't know what happened. All I know is he could have cashed out for $127,000. Could have cashed out for $109,000 after that. Didn't. Could have cashed out for $96,000. Didn't do it. And then last night before he walked into the Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers game, could have cashed out for $39,000 and didn't.
And didn't. So he could have hedged at 75 and cashed out at 39.
Yeah.
And still had $100,000.
I mean, just... would go man.
Exactly. Like, what? I don't know, man. I don't have that kind of money.
I don't think he does either, but
obviously
he probably
not
doesn't
now.
Have the value of what an actual dollar is.
Or
probably.
You could buy a, you know, break for $41 and sell it for $4,100.
Oh, yeah.
If you
want
to do that.
Nice.
Why would I hold on to it?
Flex.
Yeah. So Mahomes number one, that's a flex in the NFL, right? Pete Prisco, that's his name. Josh's alter ego.
Yeah.
The Maloney. No doubt. So he says Mahomes is the number one player in the NFL, and he's not wrong, I don't believe.
No, he's not wrong at all. Right. There's no debating this, I don't think, at all. I mean, I really don't. If you're throwing everybody's name into a hat, like if you had to start a franchise every single year, like at the end of a football season, if everybody was a free agent or draft eligible, every single team is starting their roster with Patrick Mahomes. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that you're not starting your roster with the best player in the NFL, and that is Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player at the most important position.
There you go.
He's the best player in the NFL.
As I say, the most important position in the NFL is?
Quarterback.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Mahomes.
How old is he?
30.
And you know Jay Beagley knows how good Steve Young was at the age of 30?
Mm-hmm.
You know Bob got that text? You got that question.
Oh, you got it too?
We both got the text. Because I went in there and I go, Beagley came up to us. He goes, hey, you know, there's this Steve Young, age 30. 30 is when quarterbacks really start to take off. I came in there and did the impersonation for Bob. He goes, oh, yeah, I got the text too.
Oh, that's so good. All three of us got it. Hey, Steve Young, goodness 30s.
Most quarterbacks are good in their 30s. I mean, they finally figure out how to play the game.
Yes, it's a mental position.
It's an age thing, right? I understand this now. I can do this. You learn. Oh, okay. And then you realize what you don't know unless you're Aaron Rodgers and you think you know everything. So you continue to grow as a player, but nobody's not drafting Patrick Mahomes, number one overall in this league. And I say that because every time we hear about a quarterback, could he be the next Mahomes? And everybody's still trying to find their version of Patrick Mahomes. And so if you don't have a good quarterback, if you don't have really one of the four or five best quarterbacks in this league, you're not giving yourself an opportunity. And so that being said, if every NFL player was in a draft every year and we drafted every single year active players, Patrick Mahomes would be the consistent number one. And if you don't take him number one overall, your GM should be fired on sight.
Yeah, unless you're Sam Monson. Then he's taking Josh.
Well, that guy's a dope too.
Can I ask a sidebar question?
Yes.
And maybe it's too hard to think about on the spot. If you took Mahomes one overall, who would be your second pick if you had Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback?
Well, tell me who's been taken, though, already, you know?
Well, I would assume quarterbacks would, like, go, like...
How many quarterbacks would go? Five? I would go Patrick, Josh, Lamar, Burrow...
Daniels.
Maybe C.J. Stroud.
Maybe. So there were six.
Those are the young ones. Herbert.
Yep, Herbert, maybe. Yeah, Love. I mean, I don't know.
Shador.
Quarterbacks may really be valuable, man.
Yeah, I mean, so...
Like, I guess
let's say it's all quarterbacks.
So I'll say this. the hell with it. It's quarterbacks and skill players, right? Are you taking a left tackle with your second pick, or are you taking like a skill set wide receiver that could be there?
It's Trent Williams.
That's what I'm saying. He's 40, though.
But he's 40. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But it's
like,
only for, remember, these are only for 1 year. If you're doing this every year, okay. It's 1 year.
Okay.
You're recycling players every year, so.
Yeah, then give me Justin Jefferson.
I would take Joe Alt.
That's a good pick.
Nice. Even though he plays right,
because then I would
move him over.
Yeah.
That's a good pick. I don't know that he'd be there at 33, though.
That's true, because left tackles go quick. I mean.
And he's good. And there's not a lot of them.
Because, I mean, then if you patch up left tackle, then all of a sudden it's like, I don't necessarily need a top 10 wide receiver. I just need a guy that I can trust to go out there because I've got protection. I'll make sure I can find him and he can get time to run out.
How intriguing would the league be if they every year they did a draft and every active player was in it and you change teams every single year? I mean, the conversations that people would have. All right, we're not going to have a quarterback this year because we were too good, so let's go draft the left tackle, get a marginal quarterback later on. I mean, God, it would be outstanding. It would be so good to watch. Now, I don't know if it would be fun all the time.
No.
But at least if you did a draft like this, it's all active players. Everybody knows who they are. You know, it's not like these college players where you knew Shador Sanders and that was about it going into the draft, right? Mm. And so you know all of these players. The conversations would be great all the time. But nobody wants to deal with that in the NFL every year of restocking and rebuilding your entire roster.
I know Brett Veach wouldn't want to deal with that.
Yeah. No, I got a good roster, man.
Yeah, I
could get even better though, because I'll take all these guys that everybody doesn't think are any good, make them really good here.
You want to hear the most pointless tweet from Warren Sharp?
Oh, please.
2024 record of games ended after the third quarter.
What?
That's what?
Say that again.
It says, here's a list of everyone's record in 2024 if games ended after the third quarter.
Well, they don't. I mean,
here's everyone's record in baseball. The games ended in the seventh inning.
What are the Chiefs?
10-6-1.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that. Like, that's June 18th, baby.
Yeah, that is June. That's like NBA or NHL in Kansas City. Which is going to happen? It's June. Neither. Move on. Next topic.
You got it. Mini camp day one was yesterday.
I mean, that's just a dumb.
Like, what are we doing?
Here's everybody's tweet record if we stop the game after 1 second.
Oh, no, Mr. Munson. Us Amish people play 14 frames. You normal people play 10. Oh, that's why you bowl 300.
Yeah.
Okay, Ishmael. Minicamp day one was yesterday. Day two today. Day three tomorrow.
That's
Mac,
how that works. That's
you're
good.
You're gonna be there on day three.
Yes, tomorrow. Okay. I'll be there. Let's go. Andy and Mahomes will be speaking.
Andy and Mahomes. There we go. Trey Smith was on the field. What a beautiful sight that was.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. We don't have to deal with any of the Chris Jones stuff. I thought it was super funny what he said.
Oh,
no, don't
so
take
great.
My advice. You know,
he did things differently than me, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to do what
drop
I did.
Drop that mic, baby.
Exactly. Just kind of self-deprecate. We always talk about that. Poke fun at yourself. Chris Jones has always been good at that. Yeah, I mean, Trey Smith, I mean, how important is he to the Chiefs' plan next season? I'd say he's really important. You know, we talk about the left tackle. How is it's not really going to matter if the middle of the offensive line isn't fortified, and we know I-65 is priority number one in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, they'll get that thing all squared away.
Yes.
They'll figure out who's going to play that left tackle position, and then they'll figure out Trey Smith, right? Or maybe they'll figure out Trey Smith first, and then they'll figure out the left tackle position. I think they figure out Trey Smith first, though, because he was there at minicamp. That usually dudes who have, you know, contract disputes don't show up to. And he did. And so I give him a lot of credit for being there.
Me too.
It shows maybe they're closer than, you know, a lot of us think, because he's showing up out of good faith at this point in time that, you know, that new deal is going to get done. And look, they've talked about wanting to get Trey Smith a deal for a couple of years now. Deadlines make everything speed up. And you know, we're looking at training camp, what, about a month from today, roughly? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the fact that, yeah, I know. The fact that he's there shows me he truly cares
That's
about
right.
it. And if he really cares, that means the franchise has shown that they care, too, and that they're close.
Yeah, you don't show up if you're not close in these situations.
He's also doing the smartest thing a player can do that's going for a contract, and that is give them no reason.
Yep.
You know, because where were you at training camp? I was there. Where were you at minicamp? I was there. Where were you at this? I was there. Where, you know, in St. Joe?
Yep.
I was there. And you didn't have a contract. All right, you're about
yeah,
it. And I know there's more of that than we believe goes into the contract negotiations, but boy, that Chris Jones one was, oof, that was an ugly situation. Then all of a sudden, Friday at like 8:30 at night, Chris Jones has signed a 5-year extension. Like, hey, there we go.
There you are.
Okay, so Kelsey looking good at camp. He looks, what, Binkley still says he lost 25 pounds in a month.
That's the report.
Don't believe it.
I don't buy that, but that's fine.
And Josh Simmons. He's there. He's a left tackle. Maybe ahead of schedule. Maybe not. Maybe it's like the Caglione thing. Maybe that's a good comp. Like, yeah, he looks the part. Probably going to be the part. But don't rush the part. If he's not ready, then don't force it. If you've got a guy and more that can be that guy, and then all of a sudden you can move Josh Simmons in there somewhere little by little, or maybe Kingsley does fail at left guard, and you're like, hey, Josh, get in there right now, and let's just do this here, and then eventually you'll slide over once, you know, Jalen Moore's gone, and you've got the experience of, like, the pace of the game, the reps of Patrick Mahomes. But I like what I'm seeing from the first pick of the Chiefs at left tackle.
I think right now, unless he's hurt where he can't play, he should be your starting left tackle. He's a first-round draft pick, and that's why you draft guys. First-round draft picks are not normally projects, right? Now, every once in a while, they could potentially be a project, but you trade it up for this guy, right? If he's healthy, he's not on your team. He's a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. If he's healthy, he needs to play. He just does. He needs to be ready to go, and he needs to be ready to play. Even with the Jalen Moore signing, that is a great kind of safety net that you have. It's an insurance policy. You can play both sides of your offensive line.
It's perfect.
I'd rather have a guy like that being able to do that than having him be the starter than having a rookie who can't do that. So by starting Josh Simmons, it strengthens your whole offensive line because now Jalen Moore is that swing guy that if something does happen, he can just move and play a different side and everybody's happy again. So I think unless he's just not ready from an injury standpoint, screw it. Start the guy, man. Let's go.
And everything that we've heard is that he's ahead of schedule from a health perspective. We know he has the intangibles, the talent. Like you said, he would have been the first left tackle taken if it weren't for that scare. Brett Veach saw past that. He know the medicals that we have here and the medical staff that we have here is superb. And they're going to get him in the right spot, I think, early on. I know Ian Rappaport, we played that audio earlier. He mentioned that he could be a swing tackle. I think Bob's right. If Josh Simmons is swing tackle ready, he's starting left tackle ready, and he'll start there right away.
And
we're not swinging him around.
Unless that, you know, Jalen Moore is just much better than him, which I don't know if that's – I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but that's not my job to decide that. If he's that much better, then that's fine. But I still wouldn't put him as a swing tackle. I'd just keep him learning and getting better at that left tackle position because eventually he's going to need to play that left tackle position or that draft pick's going to go for naught.
We want this to be the last left tackle Mahomes ever throws behind.
Right.
The other information we were given yesterday was Dan Mears, the mascot legend behind the mask of Casey Wolf, is hanging it up after 35 years, going to retire. And so that led to our...
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah. So we asked the poll question on the Fesco and Dusty poll question on a Wednesday. Does Dan Mears belong in the Chiefs Ring of Honor? Yes or no? 64.9% of you said yes. So I think you put Dan Mears up there.
Yeah,
and I think you put the Casey Wolf face right next to him and let him last forever up there in that Ring of Honor. But that was the information from the Chiefs yesterday from minicamp to the retirement on mascot day of Dan Mears. So props to you, Dan. Congratulations to your great career.
Awesome, man. Congratulations to you, and I hope you find joy and happiness in your future endeavors in the life of retirement, which is going to be great for you. I know you're going to talk about Stephen A. Smith coming up, but he's in the news again already this morning.
No, really?
Yeah, he's out here for whatever reason now, ripping the city of Memphis on live TV because Ja Morant said something to him. So now he's ripping Memphis and saying,
dude,
are we watching in front of our eyes the demise of Stephen A. Smith? And I'm being serious about that. I know he's ESPN's big name. He's their biggest personality, makes the most money. But this last week has not lasted. It's Wednesday. And now he's... This guy went from playing solitaire in the middle of an NBA Finals game to on ESPN this morning ripping the city of Memphis and saying how horrible it is and no NBA player wants to go there in response to Ja Morant taking a shot at him. Like, I don't know, guys, this is not looking good for Stephen A. Smith to continue to perform like this and basically blame everybody else now for why he was playing. If you don't play solitaire in an NBA game, you're not in trouble.
None of this happens. Yeah, if you just do your job, really, is what you're saying. If
and
you
that's
just
did the your expectation. Job correctly. Let's be honest, man. Everybody wants to do what we do. It's a cool job. It's a lot of fun. Stephen A. Smith's job is better than ours, right? It pays a lot better. He gets to do cool things.
Yeah.
And he's doing something that, like, every guy probably dreams about. Let me get on after a big game and give my opinions. and everybody's watching this game, and you're paid to do this, and you're sitting there playing solitaire?
It sounds like he has very thin skin.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, you know, kind of not, doesn't even really call him out, but kind of calls him out. He can't take that. You know, John Morant, you know, speaks on his town and being a Memphis guy and just really speaks love to his city after Stephen A. kind of trashed it a little bit yesterday. And Stephen A. can't take that.
And so he said this morning, it's moving in the right direction, but it's still recognized as one of the worst cities in America to the point where the head of the FBI called it the murder capital of this country per capita. That's on record. Stephen A. Smith discussing Memphis on First Take. Like, this is where we are now. Destroying cities on First Take because wow. A player who plays in that city called you out for not doing your job. This is 2025 in a nutshell, where you do something wrong and you're blaming everybody else for it. Instead of just looking in the mirror and owning it and making a joke out of it, and it would have been done if he just owned it and made a freaking joke about it and self-deprecated. Yeah, you caught me. I was bored. I'm sorry. I apologize. Bad look by me. But now, no. Now the FBI in Memphis is involved.
It's ridiculous.
Sounds like he's got a great, great future in politics. Because he said it, he's going to run. So we'll see. Now, I don't know, man. We'll get into Stephen A. Smith on the other side. Plus, we'll get into what Matt Cotrero had to say before we get into our Richard of the Week. Richard of the Week, sponsored by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part is zero bubbles. We'll play what you missed maybe or already heard from Matt Cotrero about the players only meeting, what he saw and what he liked from it. Plus, we'll do Richard of the Week on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Doing here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up next, Gold, Binkley, and Drew, followed by C-Dot and Rob, followed by Big Daddy Vern. Glad he finally got a good post-game show last
finally,
night,
right? Were the fans happy last night?
Yeah, you never know, man. Yeah. Somebody might have been mad at that play that Vinny didn't make. Cost Seth Lugo a run.
I've never seen a play like that in my entire life of watching baseball.
What's that turf made out of?
I don't know. I thought that was real dirt, but I mean, that looked like it was like a basketball. Like if you bounce a baseball on a basketball court, you know, kind of like rubber or something. Like
that, the garden in New York, where if you step on it, you feel like you're going to sink into a hole.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was a good win last night, something that you desperately needed. And we asked Q earlier today about the players only meeting and what it meant to him.
I think it was great. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's only so much you can say to a team as a manager, as a coach, you know, and they need to, it's their team, right? I mean, we're there to provide guidance and support and whatever other things they need. But at the same time, they're the ones that are holding each other accountable. You hear that in every business, every walk of life. You know, there's accountability. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, things that players can say to each other that staff members can't and shouldn't, you know, and they hear from us plenty, trust me. And so I thought that was great. And Salvi, you know, calling it together. And, that, you know, the next day he said, we had a great meeting. And I said, perfect. You know, like that's, it's not for me to go in there and hear everything that's being said, but it's for them to grow into those roles and understand what it means to support each other, you know, criticize each other, hold each other accountable, whatever the right terminology is. But that'll ultimately bring them closer, not only for now, but for the future.
Sure looked good last night. The captain who orchestrated the meeting, day off after getting beat after the meeting, goes two home runs, double, does everything he needed to do. Bobby Witt Jr. also following suit, going yammers, also doubling for the Royals last night. But yeah, that what he said reminds me of what my dad would do with my sister and I, because he said it. There's things you can't tell your, you know, players that they can tell them each other. When my sister and I would get into a shouting match or constantly argue for days on end, my dad would go, you go to the room, shut the door, and you guys hash it out. And when you're done doing that, you can come out.
That's exactly right. And that's what they did. And your captain has to do it, and he has to be the leader. But then he also has to produce. And he went out there and produced, too. So it wasn't like one of those meetings where somebody got up and spoke, we need to do all this differently, 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, and then stunk. He went out there and backed up his words. And I think that was important for everybody to see. But it goes back to what I've been saying for weeks now. It's not the hitting coach. It's about the players. And the players got to step up. And when the players step up and your stars became stars, they won easily last night. That was an easy win for the Royals last night.
Yeah, Seth Lugo, just the surgeon of the strike zone last night, really had guys moving. I loved what Q said, too. He goes, the pitch clock was moving lower because I heard the broadcasters on the TV, I forget who it was, and they were just going, that pitch clock's getting low, you better hurry up. And he almost did like a side pitch, like a quick pitch, and the batter was so off and didn't have time to. So advantage there, knowing the game that has changed, being a veteran in the league for so long, but adapting to the rules of what might be an advantage for you in the future. But let's get into it. Richard of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Richard of the Week brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside, only 100 calories. And the best part is zero bubbles. Paper, rock, scissors between you two. Who wants to go first?
Mac, you can go first. Yeah. I'll wait to the end. Okay. That's fine.
Stephen A. Smith, you brought it up on the other side or before this, Bob, about him just being a complete
D. Richard?
Yes, thank you. This whole week, yeah. You know, not being self-deprecating, not owning up, calling out different players, and then when they come back with a retort of their own, you're not able to take it. It seems like your ego has gotten so big that you're really just kind of oblivious to all of what reality is around you. Here's what he said yesterday on a SiriusXM show addressing the Solitaire incident.
I can ask you a question. I can also be playing a little game on my phone.
That's right. Like right I was doing now. Solitaire.
I mean, what's going on here?
And I was doing what the hell I always do. And for those out there who don't like it, kiss my ass. When I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. If there's a break in the action, it could be a dead ball. It could be a timeout or something like that. I can play the damn thing for 2 seconds. Somebody is standing over me, upper deck, zooming in on my phone, watching me and saying, oh, he's playing solitaire. He's not focusing on the game. I watch over 100 games a year.
That's it?
I'm on TV every morning for 2 hours, 10 hours live every day. And that's just one job. That don't count Countdown. That don't count SportsCenter. That don't count all
totally
the obligations.
Totally taking a turn and talking about
and
stuff
I'm
that doesn't matter.
And I'm sitting there getting a little break, and I decide to play a little solitaire, which, by the way, I always do. And I mean always.
He always does it,
if
Bob.
I sit up there, if there's halftime, I might go on my phone for 2 minutes and play solitaire.
But this is the
At the
first
end of the game, before
it.
Game, I do the same thing. Damn it, if you had a little break in between, I might have been praying it again because I like the game.
How'd you do in that particular game?
I won that particular game.
Well, solitaire was okay. It could have been something else.
And then he goes on and he makes jokes about, oh, I'm glad they didn't see something inappropriate. It could have been something much worse. You know, he makes a joke, makes it all. This guy, man.
You know, Mac, you had said something. I don't remember what it is, but I remember how I wanted to answer what you had said. He's allowing himself to become bigger than the game. And nobody other than Caitlin Clark is bigger than the game. Nobody in the media is bigger than the game that they're covering.
No.
Nobody in the media is more important than the game that they're covering. And I don't want to get into all this philosophical stuff like you have this duty and all that crap. I'm not going to get on my soapbox and do that. But you do. People are watching you at the end of the game, expected to get an informed opinion, whether you agree with that opinion or not, like Henry doing the post game show and not watching the end of the game or whatever the case may be. Like you leave games early. You're not doing your job. You're getting paid by somebody to be there and to pay attention to the game and have the ability to talk about that game afterwards. And I find it very difficult to do a post game show or even have commentary on a game the next day if you weren't paying attention to the game that was taking place in front of you. And that's where Stephen A. Smith is acting like he is bigger than the game. Like, I am bigger than ESPN, he's now telling everybody. Yeah. I am Stephen A. Smith. Well, that's going to end real fast when people start to realize you're not watching the games. Like, there are fans that probably have more informed opinions about that game because they watched it other than Stephen A. Smith. And then today he's attacking the city of Memphis. So it's dissipating fast with this guy because he finally got busted and now everybody's dancing on the grave of Stephen A. Smith because of the way that he's treated, I guess, people over the years or however they perceive him over the years. Now everybody's got an opportunity to kind of dance around and run Stephen A. Smith down and nobody's passing up on that.
That interview also reminded me of when, my cousin Vinny, when he interrogates the guy about grits. Because he said he only played solitaire for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said that he won the game.
You can't win in 2 seconds.
You can't win a game in solitaire in 2 seconds. Yeah. It takes at least 5 minutes.
No self-respecting solitaire player wins a game in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, grits are made. That's right. Way to hit that. You have to watch that movie, haven't you? When you see that scene, you'll be like, that's what he meant.
Okay.
Mine is.
I mean, is that displacement? I think it is.
Oh, and Marina Mabry's going to get ejected. If the officials saw that, Marina Mabry is going to get ejected.
Well, they're
going to
go and look at it. Look at Mabry. She's got a scar on one side, a scratch on one side of her face, a scratch on the other side. It's not from the game today. I asked her about it. She's always in the mix. Ooh. There's a lot of contact here.
My Rich of the Week is J.C. Sheldon, the lady that, thought it'd be okay to gouge out the eyes of Caitlin Clark and think nothing was going to happen after it. You could also say the Rich of the Week are the referees in the WNBA.
Yeah.
But hey, this is the game. This is who she is. This is what she's building, and this is what we're about, and we're getting action. But J.C. Sheldon, do it a different way. Don't go out through the eyes. You know, maybe give a shoulder shrug. When Caitlin Clark goes up for a three, foul her hard. Do something like that, I guess. But don't, you know, go for the eyeballs. If you want to make Patrick Mahomes know that you're there, you know, maybe give him a little, you know, scruffle up, but don't have to go after his head. Don't have to throw him in a, you know, when he's out of bounds, chucking him down to the ground. But like, you know, when he throws the ball and it's a legal hit, let him know you're there. Give him a little word of encouragement. Say, hey, MF-er, I'm coming. I'm Max Crosby, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
You don't have to go for the eyes, and you don't have to come after the game in the press conference and say, yeah, you know, we're just this, and that. J.C. Sheldon, you got what you were getting after, and now you've woken up a sleeping giant in Caitlin Clark and the rest of her team. And Sophie Cunningham, my number is 816-30. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But if you ever want to hang out at the Green Lady Lounge, tabs on me for 2 drinks.
I will say this from that standpoint. You know, if you really want to send Caitlin Clark a message, how about, you know, turning her into Angel Reese and having her score 4 points and have 17 rebounds? Like, play defense against her and shut her down. That will hurt Caitlin Clark more. But they also realize they can't do that. So now they go resort to gouging out her eyeballs and you know, playing Jordan rules with her, where everybody's hitting her as she goes up for a shot or even when she's not going up for a shot, because they realize they can't stop Caitlin Clark. They're not as good as her. And so what do you resort to? Cheap shotting. That's what happens all the time. My Richard of the Week is pretty simple. The jackass who told me we fixed the BMA Foundation event for my wife.
Oh, yeah. That guy sucked. Yeah,
that guy sucks.
I went and had a couple words with him after.
Yeah.
I found that out.
Yeah, this guy told me we fixed the competition so my wife could win. If you saw the dances.
We announced that on Saturday night, didn't we?
Yeah.
I was like, well, there's Richard of the Week.
Exactly. There was a couple of other people we could mention that, you know,
say buddy's bar, man.
Yeah, like people just don't say appropriate things at the right time, and it happens a lot. And this guy came up to me. I lived in Brookside for 20 years. I've lived in Boston for 30 years, and you sandbagged this competition for your wife to win. I'm like, okay.
Is this real?
I mean, if you Ray Charles would have known my wife won the competition.
Way to ruin one of the best nights of my life, pal.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was ready to go that night, and I hadn't been drinking, and I was ready to go.
Wow.
Mm. Somebody says Stephen A. Smith probably plays single card solitaire instead of three.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Take the day for 3.5 minutes.
That was really good. I do.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Like that.
Hey, man, we'll be gone till Monday. Take care, everybody. And always remember, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Stay kind, stay groovy, stay nice to each other out there. Coming up next, Gold, Binkley, and Drew from 10 to 2. I'll talk to you Monday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.